The first drink of the day! The first drink of the day! The first drink of the day! The first drink of the day!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast. Four of us are around a table here at Henry Addington's in Canary Wharf. I'm Simon Head. And
Jim
joining
Staples
me
on
is,
here.
Is Jim Staples.
Jumping the gun a bit.
Jumping the gun again.
Ashley Cole.
Stuart, I didn't introduce myself, did I?
Stuart Hoare. And Michael
I'm
Hudson.
Here too.
Yeah, there you go.
Dan Vernon's paragliding with Ed the Duck.
Yes.
And he's also this afternoon going to Weight Watchers with Mickey Quinn and Kamala, the Ugandan giant.
Kamala. Brilliant. Right, it's the end of February. Today is the 28th. The show will go out tomorrow, 1st of March. We've come to the end of February, which, as we all know, is the shortest month of the year. So, to sort of celebrate.
I don't think about anything else.
No.
In fact, during the whole month of February.
Yeah.
To be honest, I still count the next 3 days as February the 29th, February the 30th, and February the 31st. I'm not having it. You know, short months now.
But that then, by definition, makes March the shortest month.
I just have everything out of sync.
That is madness. Because it's such a short month, and I couldn't think of a better question, what is your favourite short footballer of all time, Mike?
Craig Short.
That's quite good.
Here are we. No, I've got a few, mainly from the 90s, Janinho, Gianfranco Zola, and Jose Dominguez, all favourites of mine.
So who's your favourite then?
Well, I'm going to stray away. I'm going to stray away from them and go.
Stray away from.
Who remembers Roger Miller?
I'm aware of his work. Yeah.
6'1" striker.
Yeah.
But he once tried to organise the Pygmy World Cup, which entailed him kidnapping some pygmies and imprisoning them in the 50,000 seater Omni Sports Stadium.
It's been very unquickly to pub ammo, hasn't it?
He sold only 50 tickets for it, and they nearly starved to death. He got away with it because he's a hero in Cameroon, and a spokesman said, "You don't know pygmies. They're extremely difficult to control. They play better if they don't eat too much." So those pygmies are my favourite short players.
Did it go ahead?
I think it got cancelled because of lack of interest.
Lack of interest and lack of staff.
Lack of height.
Literally short-staffed.
50 tickets. 50 tickets were sold, and apparently they were mainly people who wanted to laugh at them.
I'd definitely laugh at them.
That sounds about right. Okay. Jim, who's your favourite short player?
Zola, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Gianfranco Zola. Yeah, he just epitomises it. Rolf Fox was up there as well. Well, he wasn't up there. He was quite small.
He was down there, yeah.
Rolf Fox. And I had Jose Dominguez on my list as well.
Yeah.
He was brilliant when he first came. Absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
Stu, you heard any of those? You must have heard of Zola.
Zola, yeah, definitely. And Roger Miller as well.
Yeah.
Not really. Roger Miller's 6'1", so he doesn't really qualify. I know he's short compared to you. Being 6 foot, however much you are.
Well,
six.
John Spencer was quite small. He was QPR. Yes.
I've gone for Sammy Lee, who also played for QPR.
Did he?
And he looks like he only played 30 times, I think. This is when he sort of was injured quite a bit, wasn't he, when he left Liverpool? Sammy Lee, he looked like an angry Oompa Loompa as well.
I had Zola down here, and the other one being dragging him back to my own club, as I tend to do too much. He's our current manager.
Yeah.
He is tiny, isn't he?
He's about 5'4", 5'5".
But he's a looker, so he gets away with it.
Yes. Okay.
They're on match days as well, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
There was
a short goalkeeper. What was the goalkeeper called? Was it Campos? Was he quite
small? Jorge Campos. He used to wear 5'7".
That's ridiculous.
That's shorter than me, and I'm not tall.
But he's about the same size as me, and I'm fairly small.
He used to wear fluorescent
to make him look bigger.
He also used to wear the alternative outfield kit from what the Mexican team wearing. So if they were wearing the home kit,
short sleeves, always a short sleeves
with number 9 on the back.
Yeah. He used to
like a goalkeeper top over it.
He used to like a penalty as well. He used to take penalties as well.
But, legend.
Yep. Busy weekend of football. To be fair, we missed quite a lot of it on Saturday.
Which it was all a bit of a blur, wasn't it?
We went to the sports cafe to meet our friends from Royal One Radio, our sister show in Scotland, and the plan was to turn up, have a few beers, meet the lads from Scotland, and watch some football. Aberdeen versus Hearts was on. There was no football happening in that game. It was dreadful. I mean,
it's a great game.
It was dreadful. What? It was
one
dreadful.
Point, the goalkeeper, the Hearts goalkeeper, was very impressive.
He did all right.
Very impressive.
Remember his name?
No, but he's Slovakian. He's, Leko, yeah. I think.
Something like that. Leko, definitely.
Something like that. I'm going to look it up because he was very good. Slovakian international now as well.
But it wasn't a great game. And then
you
we
missed
had,
out, Coxon.
And then, right, we, had, and then right. we had egg chasing on for the rest of the day. Which resulted in Stuart shouting handball at the big screen for about 20 minutes.
Did that get old at all? I can't imagine it would.
No, not
a few jugs of Stella, no.
Not at all. But it was good to see the lads, and yeah, check out their show on our website as well. But
big fan of Steve Hislop as well, aren't we, on this show?
That was brilliant.
Oh, Jesus.
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
After about 5 minutes of being there, Simon decided to talk about some Scottish footballers that Gillingham have had. He proceeded to slate a guy called Steve Hislop, which, to be fair, was crap, for about 5 minutes, to which the Scottish guy just turned around and went, yeah, that's my cousin.
He did admit he was crap.
Yeah, he didn't say he was crap. He said he's lazy.
He diffused it.
Yeah.
No. It could have gone badly, but it went all right. But yeah, no, it was a good day spent. You went off to the rugby. How did that compare with a football match? Bear in mind, that's the pinnacle of English rugby.
It was a corporate thing, and I wouldn't pay for a ticket to watch rugby. It was alright. Everyone kept saying, oh, the atmosphere's going to be amazing. It wasn't. The atmosphere was crap.
Yeah?
It's too friendly.
Well, I don't know about that, but it was just, there was no atmosphere. It was just, they were singing Swing Low Sweet Chariot every sort of 10 minutes. France had one song, Allez Bleu. And apart from that, there was nothing, absolutely nothing.
The French ones do have some
French
great
song,
hats,
Jim?
Though.
There's a hint of an accent there that I want to hear again.
Allez la bleu.
That's
come on the blues.
Go on. There you go.
There's a translation there from a cunning linguist.
But no, it wasn't. It wasn't great, to be honest. I'd much rather be watching Rooney elbow someone's eye socket out as he did.
Self-defence, wasn't it?
Was it self-defence?
That's what he said today, wasn't it?
That's what he's claiming. apparently a lot of Premier League players are carrying guns these days, so you can't be too careful.
He's done him, hasn't he? He's absolutely done him.
And yeah, and if he doesn't,
can it be reviewed now though? Because the ref has seen it, and I don't think
he saw him elbow him in the head. I think
he's just a shoulder barge.
I think the ref saw him bump into.
But he didn't book him, did he?
Serious questions.
No, he just had a little chat with him and patted him on the head.
Which means that he can be reviewed by the FA.
Serious questions have got to be asked if the referee is given a free kick but didn't see the incident.
I think he gave the bump and he probably reacted to the crowd. But there's no way the referee can turn around and say, I saw what happened.
Yeah.
Because if he's saying, I saw Rooney elbow the guy in the head, and I only gave a free kick and I patted him on the head and didn't book him or anything.
You gave him a little cuddle.
You little scamp.
Yeah. Who was the player that he elbowed?
It was McCarthy.
McCarthy's a very good little player.
He's the one who scored that one goal for Wigan the other day.
Oh, really?
A little weird tippy toe thing.
Brilliant
goal.
Disappointing, though, that Rooney does continually do stupid things like that so early in a game.
And the thing that I've heard sort of people on the radio saying, oh, it's an anti-Man U thing or it's an anti. It's not. Mm. Don't be a tit and elbow, people. Like John Hartson, a match of the day too. I'm a big fan of Hartson as a pundit. He's proven to be quite good. He was basically having a go at Ferguson. He said Ferguson, greatest manager ever. He said you cannot defend that.
No.
And Mark Bright was there.
You can. So. Just got to put your hand up as the elbow comes in. It won't go anywhere near.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's what Ferguson's built himself. I'd never criticise his players, but I mean, I hope behind the scenes he has rolled Rooney for it. Because
I'm sure he has.
If we're talking about elbows and stuff like that, you probably won't have seen it because you don't like lower league football. Macclesfield v Wickham.
What, that full blown?
It's absolutely brilliant.
It was about an 18 man brawl.
One Wickham are winning 1-0. The game's sort of petering out in the second half. Guy gets fouled. He gets up, fouls another guy, and then completely off the ball. Just whacks him, just kicks him in the shin, and then stands there as if saying, what have I done wrong? And the brawl went on.
A bit
on.
Like Pepe when he did that kid and got banned for 10 games after running his studs up and down him.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. It's absolutely genius. You could put like a Carry On soundtrack over
it. Benny Hill music. Seriously. It was.
It went on for about five minutes.
No, he couldn't understand what all the fuss was about. And he just started this massive fight. His own teammates.
The ref sent off three. How he could only limit to three. The original guy's got to go for kicking out and then starting a fight. But if you're sending off two more, he could have sent off like literally four. There's people just
could have abandoned
punches.
The game at that point.
There's people on the floor, people swinging punches. The steward gets involved as well. Have you seen that? We've got to put it on a site. It's brilliant.
It's funny because Bill Turnbull didn't mention that on BBC Breakfast in his weekly hilarious recap of how Wickham got on. So
yeah, a bit disappointed.
Scored the winner.
Did he? He's doing alright at that level, isn't he?
Good player.
And Chesterfield, who were top of the league, lost to Morecambe at home, so it was pictures. Sheffield United lost the game.
It's not looking good
massive,
for them, is
massive
it?
Massive game it's as well. Derby at home.
Big club, and they're really, really struggling.
Did you see, when they lost last week, because they were 2-0 up midweek against stuff, was it Donny Rovers or Scunthorpe?
I was watching that at a QPR game. They were 2-0 up in 7 minutes,
yeah,
for Christ's sake.
And they lost 3-2. It was Scunthorpe because Doncaster got a point at Norwich.
Yeah.
They got it back to 3. They eventually lost the game, and Mickey Adams basically came out and, like, you know, when clubs go through a run, sometimes the manager comes out and it feels like it's a clean slate because it can't get as bad as it has.
So we've hit the bottom now.
Yeah, so he came out, criticised the players. Some of the players came out and said we're still behind him. The fans decided to thought, right, we'll get behind them because we need to get and lost 1-0 at Derby, who were down there as well.
Yeah. Yorkshire football just seems to be in doldrums at the moment, with the exception of Leeds, who are performing quite well.
Even they got dicked.
They got murdered on Saturday.
Yeah, and even they now look like
Swansea.
They may well fall out of the playoffs. I know it's early days still, but
yeah,
I mean, it happened to the Midlands a few years ago when you only had Villa in the Premier League. But now you look at Wednesday, United, Leeds,
yeah,
all these clubs, Barnsley, they're all struggling.
Yeah,
Bradford.
Just struggling.
Peter Taylor's just left. The Port Vale team coach was stopped on the motorway, I think, and manager Jim Gannon
shoulder or
got
services?
Out. I didn't have that much.
I think he matters.
I didn't have
in the middle lane.
In the other services, what sort of services were they? Did they have a Burger King or
a
Wimpy?
Was it a road share for a welcome break? These are the questions we need the answers to.
When you stop at services and you're thinking, right, number one, I want a KFC. There's no KFC, I'll have a Burger King. When you get there, it's like Watford Gap. There's just a Wimpy. No one wants to see just a Wimpy. They take ages. The burgers are quite
you'll
nice,
end,
but they
you'll
take
end up with
ages.
A Chinster's pasty and an extra large can of Red Bull.
And a packet of fruit.
And people have paid £30 for them.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you might have seen Jim Gannon on Friday, by the sounds of it.
Or Bob Carragher's.
Gannon and Horsfield had apparently had a massive falling out on the coach.
Well, you say this, that's not actually been confirmed yet, has it? It's just the fact that he got off the coach.
Yeah.
Load of players.
Rung the chairman.
Forgot his boots.
He told the chairman it's him or me.
Yeah.
So then,
and then the coach stopped again and
kicked Horsfield off. Gannon got back on. And all the Port Vale players were even tweeting this stuff, saying, anyone want to come and manage us? Because we're on the coach, we haven't got a manager at the moment. So it was mad. I'll have
day one. They should do it.
That sounds like our away days when we had Magilton in charge.
It's like a novel
there's been
approach.
There's been a few ones like that.
No,
I remember Leon Knight got kicked off by Mark McGee.
That's justified. That
yeah, he's in Northern Ireland now. I think it's like that. Leon Knight, all the public. He's playing
on Twitch a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was a little game on at Wembley at the weekend as well.
Yeah, see, right, okay, the Arsenal thing, I'm blaming the defender for that.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have said, right, no, you can hear, because apparently you can hear the audio and the keeper calls for it.
Don't matter.
If the keeper calls for it, then the defender has got to make one decision. He can either completely leave it or just hoof
put
it.
Put his foot through it.
And once he's gone, basically, he's shaping to hit the ball.
He was midway through his front swing.
What's the worst that can happen? If you larrup that away, the worst that's going to happen is you've got to throw to defend and the keeper's going to have a go at you for not leaving it. But you've just got to do that. So I proportion 80% of the blame to the defender.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely in agreement with that.
But then if you was a goalkeeper, you could say, no, I called for it, he's got to completely leave
the goalkeeper
it.
Should have if he decided he was getting it, he should have had man ball.
He should have gone through the defender, shouldn't he?
Still
over Feeney Martins anyway.
Yeah, what a way to celebrate his 46th birthday. I mean,
good somersaults.
Yeah, press.
But on the right, we're saying, okay, defender's fault. If you were the defender, all he's got to say is, okay, I was about to kick the ball, I heard a call from my goalkeeper, he called his name, so I did what I should have done and left the ball.
Nah.
In which case the goalkeeper's got to anticipate that the ball's still gonna come to him. Either way, it don't really matter. Over Feeney Martins standing there with his thumb up his arse and just got attacked.
It was easy, wasn't it? But
Allez le bleu.
It was actually a good game to watch. It was a good game. Birmingham played really well.
They've got a lot of likeable players, Ben.
Roger Johnson, I'm a big fan of.
Stephen Carr, great.
Yeah.
Great player.
Did he play
career.
For 40 odd minutes just limping around? Roger
he was pretty much on one leg the last, last half hour. 20 minutes,
memories of Jamie Carragher in Istanbul, which is something I don't want to talk about. But again,
he was absolutely brilliant. And the lad alongside him, Juranek, he played very well. Ben Foster had a worldie in goal.
I mean, they're all like.
Likes Wembley, doesn't he? Maybe he should be an England team.
Yeah. He likes the League Cup as well. Maybe he shouldn't.
And the lad who got taken off in the end, he wasn't very happy about being taken off. Fahey.
I believe it's pronounced Fay. I got quite annoyed by him.
Is it Fay?
Fay, yeah. It's Irish.
Irish pronunciation.
Fay.
Keith Fay. He impressed me because he sort of moved into the middle of midfield and played really well. Hit the inside of the post. And
That was a good.
Very unlucky. Because he had one shot and it hit Ziggich's backside. Yeah. Came back.
Sort of toe poke. Just got it.
Yeah, and he didn't get a chance to move his feet much.
Did you see that Ibrahim Bar scored? Not Ibrahim. Is it Ibrahim Bar?
Ibrahim Bar, the legendary France player.
That's it. Yeah. Denver Bar scored a game for us.
He's a great little player.
Colton Cole come on and scored as well. Would you believe?
But Bar signed and he said, "I'm going to single-handedly keep West Ham in the league."
Did he really?
I piss myself. He's actually doing it. He's doing all right.
He is.
It's when he says next season, I'm going to win him the title. Maybe the championship title, but not the Premier League.
You go, Eki, I'll stick a 10 on him if he says that.
Yeah. Well, right. I'm not paying for it. So.
Yeah. Anything else from the weekend?
Andrew Crofts, did you see his goal?
Yeah, two of them he got. By all accounts, didn't
the second one was absolutely unimpeachable.
And also, I was reading in the Mirror, Daily Mirror, available at all reasonable outlets.
45p
on a Monday. Mirror Football, good little put out. He's played at pretty much every level apart from the Premier League. So he played for us in the Championship and League One.
Yeah.
He's played in League Two as well.
He's played non-league.
Wrexham with Dean Saunders, and he's now looking to obviously to get into the Premier League.
And then Norwich good for it.
If Norwich don't go up, he might get someone coming for him anyway. He's absolutely on all cylinders at the moment.
Yeah, they're doing well. And then, you know, I mean, the pair of us both said that they'd do well. I look back, I've got the 4-4-2 pre-season pullout, and just they've got their predicted league tables.
Yeah.
They had Norwich about 15th, I think.
Yeah. Where did they put us out of interest?
They had you 4th or 6th or something. Sort of there or thereabouts, but not winning it. You could have got 12-1 on QPR to win the league.
I've got money on Norwich to be promoted. I think I can't remember what it was. It wasn't that great.
Not with Steve Gregg.
15-16. No, yeah. Someone who might pay out.
To be honest, I predicted that Preston would go up at the start of the season, so it's not looking very good.
I predicted Preston might win a game at the start of the season. I'm still waiting for that to be paid out.
And you're doing the betting this week, so we're in big trouble, aren't we, really?
The only other story I saw at the weekend was Ashley Cole firing his leg into a young lad in the Chelsea dressing room.
It's a shithouse game, isn't it, when he's got to do stuff like that. He's 30 years old, for
ridiculous.
Christ's sake.
My girlfriend was like, well, he didn't know it was loaded, so he hasn't really done anything wrong. He's taken a gun to the dressing room and pointed at someone. Or wasn't he not...
shot another person.
And then I said who it actually was. She didn't know it was Ashley Cole. And then I went, and it was Ashley Cole. Oh, that wanker, yeah, fair enough. Front page headline, boom.
Oh,
but did you read the News of the World?
England France Player of the Year, by the way.
News of the World, yeah, he's brilliant. As a player, he's... Yeah.
Footballing wise, he's quality. He's just absolutely...
Front page of the News of the World was like, Cole shoots teammate. I was like, oh, brilliant.
What's even a teammate? It's a work experience, lad. And to be honest, they don't really count, do they?
You watch, he'll be playing next season as compensation.
Yeah.
Get a testimonial.
Brilliant.
I'll get Adrian Mutu back to play up front with him.
Alright, we haven't had this for a while.
It has been a while.
It's Stu the manager. Bring us up to date, pal. How's it all going?
Right, well, it's been going very well, actually. 5 games into the league.
You printed out a league table?
I have, mate. For
it's preparation.
I didn't actually think he was doing this.
On an audio podcast. Well done.
Yeah.
Where are you then? Oh, hello.
Yes.
Are you top of the tree?
Play 5, 1-4, drawn 1. Only conceded 2 goals.
Look at that.
Chillingham are 22nd.
Yeah, that's not a realistic game, is it?
We haven't won a game yet.
Burton are having a Burton, aren't they?
So how many games have you played? You played 2 games since we last
did. I've played 3. One of them was in the Johnson's Paint Trophy.
Okay.
Oh, right, yeah.
That was against Bury, as you can see, at bottom of that league.
Yeah.
Well, no, second from bottom, I think?
Second from bottom,
3-0,
yeah.
Mate.
You buried them.
Yeah, 3-0 away as well, so end of that. And then before that, I had Bradford away, which was a 2-0 win.
Nice. That's a great win at Bradford.
Exactly. Yeah, and then
what were you waiting for?
Jim was checking the league table.
Yeah, I was just seeing my breath for the league table.
And then the last game, Shrewsbury 2-0 win. So 3 clean sheets.
You played some Shrewsbury and Bradford are both decent teams in that league as well. They've got a decent squad to start off with. So, very good.
Next up is Torquay.
So are you out the League Cup and the
No, Johnson's Paint Trophy. I am into the second round, and I have got Shrewsbury away.
Oh, you've already beaten them this season.
Exactly. So hopefully.
But when's the Gillingham game out of interest? interest. Not for a while.
For the Gillingham game, I'll bring it in and I'll do it live.
I think we should do it live.
We'll build up to that sort of proper Andy Gray and Richard Keys style.
Oh dear.
We'll sit there and be sexist for half an hour.
Stu, you weren't here last week to nominate your centre midfield as well.
Yes.
No, so I'm going to do it this week.
We know who you're going for, Zidane. Sorry, we broke it last week.
We did say this. So do you want to elaborate?
I haven't really got to say much about him, to be honest.
Well, you have, because that's kind of why you're here.
Yeah, but the blog says it all, doesn't it? The blog says it
otherwise
all.
Otherwise, you could just do it all by correspondence.
It was recorded by 17 cameras for 90 minutes. They made a film about him.
So I haven't seen that film yet.
He got sent off at the end, didn't he?
There's no comedy in it at all.
And that was the World Cup.
No, for this recording as well, we sent off. There was a massive brawl at the end of the game, wasn't there? I'm sure there was.
Okay. Are you out sure?
You've not watched this film, have you?
No, I have seen it.
Are you money on the table, sure?
I'd put money on the table.
£5.
He was sent off at the end. I'm sure there was a mass brawl.
Come on.
And he got sent off.
Okay.
Madrid brought him for 150 billion Italian lira when he went to Madrid.
It's about 25 quid.
75 million euros.
Okay.
At the time, and he obviously scored that amazing volley against Leverkusen. Houston to win the final.
That was some goal.
Park, wasn't it?
That was some goal, because that ball was up, it felt like it was up in the air for ages.
On his weaker foot, apparently, as well.
Really?
I don't know if he could have a weak foot.
I thought he was left-footed, but he's a legend, isn't he?
But yeah, we'll keep it quick. Plenty more to obviously go up on the blog, which is going up this week, si?
It is, when you send it to me, mate, yeah.
Nice one. Look at him.
But, okay, great. We'll look at our adopted teams in a minute. But first off, a return for Who Are You and a Mr. James Staples.
Yes. Last week, obviously, I did Georgie Best, which was very well received. This week, Dennis Bergkamp.
Oh, my dad's going to love
Jesus.
AKA BA, or AKA the Non-Flying Dutchman.
Yes.
Which is quite good. What? First of all, Dennis Bergkamp, Stu, what's the first thing you think of?
Arsenal.
Okay, that'll do. Mike?
That goal against Argentina.
Yeah.
There's that goal against Argentina, and also the goal scored against Leicester City. It was very similar.
He scored three against Leicester City.
Yeah, but that one was the best one.
There was two pretty much like that. I'll come on to those goals in a minute. Okay. Born on May 10th in Amsterdam, 1969. You'll like this. He was called Dennis with two N's after Scottish stars Dennis Law.
Mm.
They wanted to call him Dennis with one N, like Dennis Law, but the doctor said that it looked too much like a girl's name.
Yeah.
Like Denise.
Yeah, Denise. So it was Dennis with double N. 1986, he came into the first team at 17 at Ajax and was praised as the new Cruyff or the new Van Basten. Both good
plenty
things
of options,
to be.
Yeah.
both definitely good things.
Yeah, you'd be happy with that, wouldn't you?
1992 was when he actually sort of came to prominence as an Ajax player. He was playing the leading role. They beat UEFA Torino in the UEFA Cup on the Italian club away goals rule.
Oh.
And he starred in that game, and then he went to the European Championships for Holland. I think they went out in the semis in the 92s, didn't they? Because they were hotly tipped to be sort of to get to the final. They went out in the semis.
I think did Germany beat them in the semis?
Yeah, it was.
I think they got beat by Germany in the semis.
Denmark beat them. I've just seen it.
Oh no, because Denmark beat Germany in the final.
Yeah. But he played a starring role there, which led to a transfer. Okay, when he left to go to Inter, there was a couple of other clubs after him. He could have gone to Barcelona or Juventus, but he went to Inter in the end. His record at Ajax was 103 games and 103 goals, which is not bad, because I know we've been talking about a lot of strikers recently that have got these stupid goal scoring records. That is modern day football. That was in 1993. Yeah. Mm. That is a fantastic goal scoring rate for someone playing top level for Ajax.
He was young then as well, 18? Yeah.
To be fair, 69. This was in 1993, so you do the math.
Dutch league is the absolute pinnacle. But
similar to Afonso Alves or Mateja Kesman, but also Ruud van Nistelrooy and Luis Suarez. So.
Yeah.
1994, the World Cup, he was one of the first players to actually play in the hole behind the front two.
Yeah.
So the Paul Shaw role, as I like to call it, as
the
a
Paul Shaw role, yeah.
But in that sort of hole behind the main front two. Obviously, went to Arsenal in 1995, 7.5 million. Finished.
He tried to get going, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Like, it was 1996, he helped him to third place. Then 1997, he scored a hat-trick against Wales in a World Cup qualifier. That's the main reason I like him, to be honest. In 97 for Arsenal, he started it on fire, and that is when he actually scored the three goals against Leicester.
Yeah.
And he was in the top three goals on BBC's Match of the Day Goal of the Month competition. The only person to ever do it. But they weren't, right? I mentioned this a couple of times.
He scored one FA Cup game against Sunderland as well at Roker Park.
And against Newcastle, I remember.
Newcastle.
But, oh, that one, yeah.
When people talk about, oh, Dennis Bergkamp was in the top three, voted, so like 10 options, and he was voted 1, 2 and 3. They weren't all against Leicester. It was 2 against Leicester and 1 against Southampton. Yeah. But a lot of people always say, because I've spoken to 2 Arsenal fans, and they both thought, oh, yeah, he was all against Leicester. Not true, dickhead.
Yeah, you idiot.
This is when Arsenal were obviously in Europe as well. And the do you know what it's called? His phobia?
He's scared of flying, isn't he?
Yeah, but do you know what the phobia is called?
Go on.
Aviatphobia. Aviation or something like that.
Didn't Aviatphobia used to play for Norway in the 90s?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Got sacked for misuse of pritch stick.
Like Dan Ferdinand.
Yeah. The reason he actually had this and didn't fly, because he used to not fly, if they were playing like Dynamo Kiev or something, he just wouldn't go.
Yeah.
If they were playing in Northern Europe, he might get a train over or
to
bus
be,
over.
To be fair, to Canio used to do that with teams from the North.
He played for West Ham, so they weren't in the Europe anyway, no. Yeah. He got it because when he was a youngster in the Dutch national team, they were about to get on a plane and a journalist did a joke of pretending that he had a bomb on him. And they cancelled the flight.
That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And from that moment on, Bergkamp vowed never to fly again.
Because the Dutch usually love getting high. So.
Exactly. Very good. Very good. 1998, he won the league championship, missed the FA Cup final for injury, but still won the double.
They did get Christopher Ray to play instead, so you know.
Swings and roundabouts.
He's next week, isn't he, Christopher Ray?
Yeah. 1998 is when he scored the goal against Orange Team in the quarterfinals. Yeah. Magnificent goal.
Have you heard the Dutch commentary on that on YouTube?
No.
It's basically a guy going, Dennis Bergkamp, Dennis Bergkamp, Dennis Bergkamp, for about 40 seconds. It's brilliant. I'll dig it out and we'll
I'd
put it on
the I prefer to listen to that. It went like that, but then it was called offside just to see his reaction.
Yeah.
Never mind. So that was when he scored the quarter final. Yet his testimonial game was the first ever game at the Emirates Stadium. A little bit of knowledge for you.
Yeah,
against Ajax. Since then, he's always said that he won't go into coaching. When he retired, everyone was saying, no, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. They offered you a role. Arsenal offered him a scouting role, but he said no. He wants to spend time with his family. He's since done a coaching diploma.
Scouting has got to be the cushiest number. Oh,
yeah.
Not if you can't fly.
Well, domestic scouting.
The actual scouts.
I remember that testimonial. One of my favourite things, because first half was Arsenal, Ajax, both their current teams, and then second half they brought out a Legends team. So Ajax had Seydorf, Davids, Van Basten.
Did Seydorf play left wing?
Van Basten was still the best player on the pitch, remember? But then Arsenal brought out, and it was like, yeah,
Overmars,
back four of Dixon, Winterburn, Bells, Adam, and then they had Glenn Helder playing.
Fair enough.
Dutch, though, he's probably Dutch, mate, isn't he? Perry Groves.
He's pissed on your joke with actual knowledge. Good.
Sorry.
So May 2008, he was fast tracked into a coaching diploma, which is set up for former Dutch international players.
Yeah,
they can go and they can play. They can be fast tracked into it.
It's a good charity. So if you want to donate, then.
Recently in the last couple of months, Van Basten has admitted that he's actually taken up a role at Ajax, a coaching role at Ajax.
Van Basten has.
No, Bergkamp.
You just said Van Basten.
Yeah, Van Basten has admitted it. If you listen to it back, sorry, you'll actually know.
Van Basten's got the pin.
Should pay more attention, sorry.
And he's recently, this is a quote from Dennis Bergkamp, I wouldn't rule out coaching at Arsenal Football Club. I really love the club and I really love the country. There you go. So Arsenal fans, you could be back at Arsenal at your club pretty soon.
And he's my dad's number one favourite footballer of all time, I think.
He might even help you win a trophy. Anyway, what's next?
Could not help yourself.
That's got to stay.
Right, it's time to look at our adopted teams, and we'll go to Mike first.
Been a good week for Northwich, Victoria.
Do they not play?
No, they have. Well, put it this way. They've got that much fixed congestion. They've got 9 games in March.
Nice.
9 games. They've played 2 games last week, won them both.
It's lucky March actually starts tomorrow and not like 2 or 3 days' time like you want it to.
Well, you know. They beat Michelover Sports 3-2 after coming back from behind.
Home or away?
Away.
Hard place to go.
180 spectators chose to watch that rather than Man United Marseille on the telly, so good fair play to them.
I was going
to
say, they did alright, didn't they?
Yeah. Late goals from Wayne Riley and Adam Roberts. Yeah. Points. Then At the weekend, they beat Retford United 4-1 at home after going 1-0 down.
Retford? That sounds like a
Retford,
made up
team. Yeah. Mm. Sounds like a serious disease. Andy Fowler and Lewis Barnes scoring goals, sandwiching a Tony Evans brace.
Right.
They're out to 8th in the league, having played 27 games. But put it this way, if you look at the teams around them, Worksop have played 23, Marine have played 31.
Oh, so it's all over the shop.
And massively uneven. Basically, yeah. There's 13.
How many of your boys played, sorry?
We've played 27, so sort of in the middle.
Okay.
There's 13 points between 2nd and 12th, between Matlock and Bradford Park Avenue. But even teams below them have got games in hand, so right. It's really open. Right. Coming up this week, they've got Burton away tomorrow, who are one place above us in 7th.
Burton?
Buxton, sorry, they've got Buxton away tomorrow.
I was going to say, Burton have had a bit of a demo since the last cut of league table.
They've got Buxton, so I can feel it in my water, so that'll be a good result.
Oh, very good.
Thursday, they're away at Skelmersdale in the League Challenge Cup quarterfinal.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, they've got Matlock away, who are second in the league. So,
cool.
The first three games of March, what's going to be a busy month, but hopefully, come out of it in the playoffs.
Excellent. There's other teams around them who need to play even more games. So I don't know how to
get
fit them in.
I mean, FC United for most of the season were about 17th, now they're 6th.
Yeah.
So.
Just because of the games in hand thing.
Yeah.
Right. My team, who I haven't updated us on in a while, is Peterhead. They're in Scottish League Division 2. Last time we spoke, they pulled themselves away from the bottom of the league and they were sort of threatening mid-table mediocrity. They've played 5 games in February. Their record. Played 5, won none.
Oh no.
Drawn none. Lost 5. Goals scored 4. Goals conceded 13. which you'd have to be Carol Vorderman to work out.
That's an average of about 2-1.
That's no points. So what? Basically, what that's done for their season, that's put them back into 9th place, which is the relegation playoff place, and 10 spots in that division.
Oh.
Automatic relegation for 10th. Playoffs if you're 9th. Now they've played 2 games more than a team above and a team below.
See, I like this system of playoffs.
Yeah.
That's what the playoffs, when the playoffs were first introduced,
it was
the
team playing
86, 87. I'd love to see. Do you understand this, Joe?
Yeah, is it the team coming up and the team that are in there?
Yeah. Basically, there's still one place. So say it's between the Premier League and the Championship. QPR and Cardiff go up automatically first and second, and the third place, the teams there still play for that one place in the Premier League, but the teams at the bottom of the Premier League also compete, so they're all competing for the one place in the Premier League.
Make it more interesting,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. I just think it's 18th, 3rd, 4th and 5th.
So the problem they've got is they've played 2 games more than the team immediately above and immediately below them. So Stenhouse Muir, who are below them, if they win their 2 games in hand, they'll find Peterhead will be 5 points adrift at the bottom of the league.
Oh,
so it's difficult, and obviously they'll be in big trouble, but they can haul themselves out of the bottom 2 next weekend, because they play East Fife, who are the team immediately above them.
6-pointer.
They're just 2 points above them, so if they win at East Fife, they'll go above them, and that'll also be their first away league win of
based
the season.
Based on history, I don't think
so. You know, they you know,
come on the head.
They need one. So, you know, we're back in the head, I think. Is it?
Back in the head, come on the head. Whatever sort of sexual innuendo you want to put in there,
yeah.
We'd like them to win.
Yes. And we'll report back on them in a few weeks' time. We'll move on to Pub Ammo. Mike, what gem do you have?
Well, this week, it was the Oscars last night, obviously. Well,
yes. Oh, who won what? Anyone?
Nanny just missed out on Best Actor.
Yeah.
Colin Firth got it. I'm looking at my top 5 thespian footballers this week.
Thespian, yeah.
So number 5 is Gary Mabbutt, who appeared in CBBC programme The Queen's Nose back in the 90s.
Really?
He made a cameo where he.
Do you remember this?
Did Justin Fashion just come up with a shit out of it?
That would have been John Fashion.
John Fashion. No.
Fair play to Stephen Davis, by the way, today on the level of Justin Fashion. But anyway.
Yes.
He doesn't know.
Saved a children's football team from defeat in the nick of time. Maybe they didn't have the coin. Maybe they wanted to.
Can I just point out as well, every time Stu says Queen's Nose, he rubs his thumb and his little finger together.
That's
Queen's
Nose.
Well, bearing in mind that these two were probably adults at that time.
I know what it's about. I used to love it.
I had friends. So I used to fancy
the sister on it. The older sister.
She was fit.
Quite fit.
There you go. Well, Unfortunately, she's not number four. Number four is Cockney hard man and former Wales captain Vinnie Jones.
Yeah. Did win at QPR, they're like him down there, didn't they?
He came on recently dressed as some sort of Big Teddy or something.
Is he the mascot now?
No, he was. I think he came on as a ball for one game.
And as a ball? What are you talking about?
I swear to God, he came on at half time dressed as something.
Had you been drinking before this?
No.
What have I told you about taking minority drugs?
He came on at half.
Are you sure
it
wasn't someone dressed as something? Yeah, probably someone dressed as something. And they took the piece and said, "This is Vinnie Jones."
No, it was Vinnie Jones.
Really?
I need to find it. I'm almost 100%.
They hate him. He mucked up your club good
shit.
And proper.
Hang on a minute. This is Vinnie Jones, who, let's be honest, has done very well for himself since leaving the game of football. He's now decided that the multi-million-dollar film contract's not enough for him. He's going to dress up as a bull and pitch up at the one club who hated him.
I'm sure it wasn't Vinnie Sam
else. No.
I think he might have been looking for a few points.
I think it might have been Ruddock.
It probably was.
Yeah. It definitely was.
Right, back to the plot.
Well, there you go, Vinnie Jones, who's starred in such box office smashes. Brilliant.
What's Razor Ruddock then?
Razor Ruddock's not acted at all, to my knowledge. He's been in Army Celebrity, but.
He's on the TV the other day, doing the World Cup draw.
FA Cup draw, he was, yeah. But Vinnie Jones has been in Euro Trip, where he played the head of the Man United Supporters Association.
I watched that a couple of weeks ago, actually.
Zero, dear.
Film.
He also was in The Condemned alongside Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes.
And Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties. Lots of big films. The Oscar is only a few weeks away.
Who's that? Vinnie Jones.
A Tale of Two Kitties.
Yeah. But he's had his own films as well, hasn't he?
I don't want to focus on them.
Oh, okay. I thought you didn't know about them.
Otherwise, he's played a Cockney. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Number three, it's Pelé. Escaped to Victory, where he imitated Wayne Rooney doing an overhead kick. Obviously the best overhead kick of all time.
Other than that, indoor 5-a-side one on Senran.
He also appeared in an episode of The Simpsons but didn't voice himself. Instead voiced by Hank Azaria.
Okay.
On the subject of that, I'm going to look at some footballers. Only one professional footballer has ever been in The Simpsons. Can you name him?
David Beckham.
Fat Ronaldo. David Beckham has been referenced but has never been in it, as has Ryan Giggs. But Fat Ronaldo is the only person to have voiced himself in The Simpsons. He voiced himself.
Wow, I didn't know.
When Lisa played football and decided she wanted to cheat to win. Great episode. Number two, Eric Cantona, who basically has played himself.
Looking for Eric.
I've not seen that.
It's apparently very good.
I'll lend you the DVD.
No, you're right.
He's also played a moody Frenchman in Elizabeth, so he played himself.
No typecasting there then.
He also played a fat Frenchman in The Overeater, so
no typecasting there then.
And a wise Frenchman in the English film French Film.
Blimey, they must have stayed up all night thinking of that title.
So yeah. But number one, best football thespian, Ally McCoist and the cast A Shot at Glory.
I've got that film at home.
Ally McCoist played Jackie McQuillan, a veteran striker who joined the fictional club Kilnocky from Arsenal.
This is stunning.
Reached the Scottish Cup final.
The best thing about this film is
the closing credits.
Well, no, it's a dreadful film. Ally McCoist is in it, but it maintains an air of credibility because the guy playing the manager is one of the most respected actors in all of Hollywood.
Academy Award winner Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall.
Who I
actually
read
Apocalypse Now, The Godfather. He's in them all.
I actually read a review online and they said Ally McCoist outperformed Robert Duvall in it.
Ally McMoist. Let's give him his proper
name. There you go.
Robert Duvall in a not very convincing Glasgow accent as well.
Also starred the likes of Michael Keaton of Batman fame.
Yes, he was in that. I remember that now. Yeah.
Didier Gaff of Celtic fame, Steve Tosh, Scottish footballer,
and
current Bolton manager Owen Coyle. So, I mean, I know he looks like a movie star, but we didn't know he'd ever been in a film.
That's brilliant. It is a truly, truly dreadful film. I urge you to watch it.
Ally McCoy's King of the Football Festival.
A Shot at Glory. It's been on like ITV4 or something.
Surprise.
It's been on a few times.
Yeah, but they'll put anything on. They show the UEFA Cup.
They do. It's called the Europa League now.
Thursday nights, Channel 5.
Yes, it. That's it. That's fantastic. So that's your pub ammo, yeah?
That is.
That's excellent pub ammo. We'll look. It's your turn again, mate. It's weekend ACCA time now. You've already sort of.
Usually that would be sandwiched with Dan getting angry about who's not coming to dinner.
But Dan isn't coming to dinner.
Dan hasn't come to lunch.
Let's just get angry.
So you can't pick who's coming to dinner.
Where's it Weight Watchers? Too many carbs down there.
Yeah. Naked burgers.
Who are you going for? Can we point out that I was just one result off, I believe.
Who let you down?
Well, we bet Hearts to win, because we were as with the Hearts boys.
Oh, that was it. Was an absolute dog of a game as well.
It was a dying 0-0.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think I was 3 out of 3, personally.
Yeah. I got 3 out of 3. Oh, no, I didn't.
Well, continuing the Hearts theme, because I'm so used to predicting, I've gone for a theme throughout mine, which is claret and or blue.
Hang on, did you do this on purpose?
I did this on purpose, yes, because I'm going to fail.
This doesn't bode well for our...
So I've gone for...
It's called the Hugo Ekiog. It's not themed better.
Well, Hugo Ekiog famously played in claret and blue.
Here's a new theme for you. Pick some that are going to bloody win.
Hang on a minute. If he utters the words West Ham, we know we're in trouble.
Who are they playing?
Who's your first team?
West Ham beat Stoke.
Where's it at?
It's at Upton Park. West Ham are looking good. Denver Bar is going to keep them up single-handedly. I don't think that's a bad bet for the odds we'll get. I'm thinking about accumulating.
What's your next one?
Burnley to beat Crystal Palace.
Where is it at?
It's at Burnley.
Did you know Palace
are flying?
Well, they're flying at home.
So are Burnley.
Okay.
And my third one, which is the outside bet, is Northampton to beat Shrewsbury.
Hang on a minute.
Whoa. Where's that game?
That is at Northampton.
He's back in...
I'll tell you what, if this comes in, we're going to Vegas.
There we go. I thought we'd go for some money.
Have you looked at the league table in the League 2?
Yes, I have. I've looked at it all. I know Northampton aren't doing too great and Shrewsbury are doing very well. But
so what's your basis for backing them?
They wear claret. To be fair, let's look at my past predictions. Whenever I've gone for somebody good to win, they've lost, apart from Man City. And when I did that, United lost. So I'm not going to go for that again.
Who's our guest predictor? Do we know yet?
Well, I've requested it from Hayden Shaw, aka El Haydo.
Yeah.
Great football blogger.
He'll be good for that. He'll give us
that'll be one out of four then.
If we win, I'm going to keep all the money for myself, and then maybe next week have a bath in it on the show.
Okay,
lovely.
We'll get the camera ready for that.
Klaas Oswald's going to be stupid. He's left it to me.
He's done his usual. And
he's passed me his Wikipedia notes.
Okay.
And I can read them out for you now.
Please do.
Okay, Klaas, I'll start with Scotty Parker. Current form, is the best box-to-box winner in the country. West Ham go down, I'd love to see him in Europe next year.
What, on holiday? Or
Eurovision.
Yeah.
Stu's going to take him to Krakow. West Ham could be making another great escape. So I presume from that he was going to lord how good Scott Parker is. Have you seen his goal?
No, I've
seen his goal yet.
I've seen brilliant goals.
When he first did it, I thought that's dodgy. That's got a deflection. When you look at it, I've never seen anyone kick a ball like that and put it that into the corner like that. Really good goal. So I'm back in Stu.
He's a very good player, Scott Parker. I'm a big fan of his, actually.
Did either of you two see Match of the Day?
No. Yeah. I saw Match of the Day 2.
Mike Phelan. Yeah. He's put Mike Phelan for his comments after Rooney's elbow.
Well, the ref didn't give it, and we're happy with that. Or something.
Basically, just brushed it off and said there's no need for a witch hunt. Apparently, yeah. Which if he said that, then he deserves to be arsed.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Or maybe Rooney deserves to be arsed.
Yeah,
arse and elbow, something like that. There's a gag in there somewhere.
Doesn't know them.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Right, go to the website www.footballpodcast.co.uk. Email us banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're all on Twitter @footballpodcast @SimonHead @JimStaples @MichaelCoxon @Stu_the_manager. We need to lose the underscore, I think. And @DanFerdinand. We're just about to finish off, and Jim has the last word.
Polar bears are allergic to rowing boats.
See you next week.